Welcome to the Indie Movie Cast, the podcast for indie movie makers by indie movie makers. I'm Alex, and I'm here with...
I'm Jay.
And...
Dominic.
And we have a special guest host this week, and it is...
Brian.
Hi, Brian.
How's it going?
Good. Hey, fellas, how are you guys doing?
We're all good, I think.
Good. Good.
How are you doing?
Excited. Episode number two. This is fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm excited. This was a huge week for us since we recorded last.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. A lot of cool things happened this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of cool things. As you may know if you listened to the last show, we are all part of Ultimatum Pictures. We are an indie movie-making crew here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, except Brian's in L.A. He's our music guy, and he does it via intranets. But,
Intranets!
And you could see our movies at ultimatumpictures.com, and specifically you could see our movie Heaven, which we just found out made it into the finals of the 2009 National Film Challenge.
Yeah. And you could go to filmchallenge.org and find us there to actually vote for our movie.
Yeah, they do have voting for an audience award. You can rate it a 1 to 10 rating. As well as all of the other 15 movies in the finals. There's some pretty great ones out there, but I think we got a fighting chance. What do you guys think?
We're fighting.
So I thought since of the special occasion, we could talk a little bit about Heaven. Heaven is a movie we did for the National Film Challenge.
Okay. The Film Challenge, it's basically... Maybe people out there are familiar with the 48-hour film challenge, which is basically you take they give you a genre, a line of dialogue, a character name, and a prop that you have to actually implement into your story. And so the National Film Challenge is basically it's in that category.
It's on a national level, and you basically get a little more time to do it because you have to mail.
Yeah, you have 72 hours rather than 48 hours.
Right, so it's like a 72-hour film competition. So Friday night a few weeks ago, we had to make a musical or a western, with a character named Don Richards, a mechanic. Yeah, that's right, a mechanic in a western, and we had to include a flask and the line, "What did you expect me to do?"
What did you expect me to do?
Yeah. So anyway, I wrote this little movie. It's like a sci-fi western. And it turned out really well. We pretty much shot it all day on Saturday, the next day.
Yeah, shot it all day. We got all our everything that we needed to use for it on Friday night. We shot it on Saturday. I directed it. Dominic camera operated it, and he was also a producer on it. And then Brian, who wrote the score for us.
Yeah, Brian. So I thought maybe you want to talk a little bit about that. You basically wrote a score for a 7-minute movie in a matter of hours. How long did it take you?
Well, I guess I started kind of like humming things in my head while you guys were shooting, and
just based off the script.
Well, I know Alec, yeah. I know Dominic threw him a composer. Didn't you throw him a composer to kind of like help inspire him?
Yeah, and I think he did use that, but when we made a phone call to Brian on that Friday night, we said, put some Ennio Morricone in there, which everybody knows he did a lot of the spaghetti westerns back in the day, and like Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Okay.
So, which is
the... sure. Did you take that as inspiration? Did you look him up, Brian?
Yeah, I definitely did. I think kind of the rhythms that he uses, and most of the stuff that I do is kind of guitar based anyway, so it fits pretty well with that style.
Yeah.
I did use that for inspiration for sure.
Well, you did a great job, and people have already made a lot of comments about
awesome
the music.
Job.
Yeah.
I mean, you even put in the whistling, which if you've listened, anybody's listened to Ennio Morricone, he does a I can't do it, but
that was really terrible, Dominic.
You do it, Brian. He's trying.
Brian, you do it.
Oh my God! Which one?
Here, let me try. Here, let me try. Wah wah wah.
Now do Heaven, Brian.
I don't. I don't really know it by heart. The the Eneo.
Okay. But, all right, never mind. Sorry, I just wanted you to whistle. I just like your whistling.
I don't do live whistling on podcasts.
Oh, you know.
Okay. I made that decision
that's
like 3 years ago.
That's his stipulation. That's in his contract.
So, well, let's talk a little more about Heaven. I'm really excited about this. Yeah, I think it may be the best movie we've done yet. Jay, you directed it and you edited it.
Yeah.
I mean, how did that work? How did he manage to do that in 3 days?
I have no idea, but you know, the editing process is always tricky. But since we had 3 days and we've kind of we've conditioned ourselves to shoot really quickly and get these things out there because we've done a number of these 48 hours.
Yeah, this is our fifth.
Yeah, and so we've kind of conditioned ourselves to this fast paced kind of process. And so
it's never fast enough though, is it, Jay? You're always a little bit behind, aren't you?
Well, if you're not behind, then you're not making something good.
Or maybe, right? I don't know. I haven't heard that one.
If you're done, if it's whipped out, you're like, done. It's like, wow, that's got to be a piece of crap. I don't know. But who knows? No, I kind of wanted to take charge of editing just because we had the time. Even though there was no time, we still had like an extra day. And I took the day off to work, and I always end up, I don't end up editing it, but I always put, like, a hard 2 cents into it, you know? And so I just kind of wanted it to...
you over-the-shoulder edit it, usually?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, and Dominic, you were there pretty much for the whole editing process, and you actually did most of the special...
He did the special effects, yeah.
Yeah, there's I mean, when you guys, please check out our movie. This is our first movie with real... digital effects that I thought turned out pretty great, and they're mostly coming from Dominic there. Yeah, how did you do that, Dom? Because you don't really have much training in that. You kind of played it by ear, or what? How did you?
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's kind of like just got to jump in, and I knew how to do keyframing, which is like its own thing. It's almost like animating frame by frame in a way. But I use the program Motion, which kind of helps you through that process. And
Motion's part of Final Cut Suite.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just kind of, I basically just kept clicking on help and searching on the internet how to do things and figured it out, kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, with the internet out there and with these programs that are pretty user-friendly, I mean, if you know what you're doing a little bit, you can really do anything now. I mean, you don't have to be George Lucas to have a special effects movie.
No, I mean, it just takes the time of learning how to use the programs.
Right.
And having patience because, one of the special effects shots, this girl disappears, basically, one of our characters, and, that took me about 6 hours to do, so you gotta have the patience to do it.
Yeah, 6 hours in a 72-hour competition are pretty valuable. What were you gonna say, Jay?
Oh, I was just saying that, your special effects, however you're doing them, they need to be appropriate for the movie, and you just got to be able to have that creativity to implement them well enough that they fit into the style that you're shooting without, just being, oh, that's out of nowhere. You know what I mean? They just kind of, it has to fit. And I think Dominic did a good job fitting those special effects into the style of movie that we had, because we kind of with where the story was going, we had a little bit of leeway with our special effects or anything else that we did, so that was actually very helpful.
Well, specifically in the scene where she disappeared, I think in the script it just says she disappears all digital like. And so I figured you guys could work out something, but I wasn't really sure.
But the style and the way she disappeared, it's believable because of where they are in that situation in context of that story.
Yeah. Anyway, we're real proud of our movie. I know this was a little weird how we interviewed ourselves just now, but I kind of want to just give you guys a little bit of input on how we do it. We're kind of becoming veterans of this competition. We've done it a number of times, and we kind of do better each time, I think. And it's a definitely collaborative effort. You don't have to have that many people on your team, but you just have to have people that are good and know what they're doing pretty much, like Brian and Dominic and you and me.
I mean, we have a number of people that hopefully we're going to bring on the show and interview at a later date, who helped out on Heaven, and they were instrumental in the process.
Yeah, so please check out our movie. I know we mentioned it a couple times, but yeah, check it out. And if you have any feedback for us or any questions, specifically how we did stuff, anything that you as a film movie maker want to do yourself that we may be able to help you with, we'd be happy to ask. Like, what software do you use, Brian, for your recording music?
I use Pro Tools mainly for all the recording, and then I use Reason to do a lot of the synthesizers and use like the synthesizers and the samplers and Reason to make
Yeah.
sounds.
And did you kind of teach yourself those programs, or were they were they taught to you by somebody?
No, I taught them to myself.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. And same thing with Final Cut. I mean, you kind of start out with iMovie, you get used to that, then you go on to Final Cut, and it's a lot of trial and error, a lot of pulling your hair out, but you can get the shots you want. You can edit it how you want it to look. Eventually, if you just kind of figure out how to do it on your own, that's my best advice to people is just go out and do it, try it, play with it, spend some time on it, and you'll likely get a good thing going.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't be scared. If there's something in your mind that you want to see on the screen, just try your hardest to make that happen because you'll be surprised that it actually does pay off in the end. And it was a lot simpler than you thought it was going to be. So you should always push yourself.
I think Robert Rodriguez said this in a couple of like his film student, things that he has on his movies is learn your technology.
Yeah.
And there's stuff that we as, independent movie makers that we see that impress us, like how the hell did they do that? And we want to learn how to make those kind of movies too, because they're out there. I mean, there's some impressive stuff out there.
Yeah,
People like us and you.
well, and Rodriguez, he's somebody that edits his own movies, and he actually does his own music and everything too. So he's probably well versed in those in these computer programs. He's probably just a an older, richer nerd than us, I think. But all right, guys. Well, I think that's enough talking about that. We'll come back with our next segment, Schmollywood.
Yes.
And hi, welcome to Schmollywood. This is the part of the show where we talk about movie news and rumors and what's coming up in our favorite little filthy town over where Duvernay's at. How is Hollywood, oh, Duvernay?
It's pretty dirty. The streets are dirty, they're filled with strays.
Yeah. For anybody who doesn't know, we live here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, but our friend Brian there, he lives actually in LA.
Yeah, he lives in the stinkiest part of LA.
The stinkiest.
Behind a car wash in Sunset Boulevard.
No, he moved.
Actually, I
Not there
moved. I don't live
anymore.
there anymore.
Okay,
He
well,
lives behind him an even stinkier car wash.
well, let's get into it. Okay, what's going on in Schmollywood? First of all, I noticed on Joe Blow that there is a sneak peek at the upcoming movie Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Ooh.
Whoa,
Oh, and I
girl,
like how at
scream.
the end it's like Harry Potter part one, and then there's a part two that comes out 6 months later, and you're like,
Yeah, well, you know why they're doing that, right?
More money?
Exactly. Warner Brothers had the
They say they want to do justice to the books and explain
They
the
just
whole
want to milk
story.
it.
Come on.
No, this is exactly why. Warner Brothers had the rights to eight movies even before she wrote the fourth book. So just in case she wrote an extra movie or what. So they basically just are using as many movies as they possibly can, which I don't blame them
Yeah.
at
You
all.
gotta make money where you can get money,
Yeah, but what you guys think of that? We're the three of us are kind of Harry Potter nerds, and Duvernay, Brian, you've seen the movies, right?
No, I've only seen like the first one and maybe half of the second one.
Oh,
And
you
then
were.
you quit. Then you quit.
Oh, you were just too cool for us. But yeah,
Well,
but
I
there.
wasn't too cool. I just fell asleep. I was tired.
But so it's actually pretty remarkable that they're actually making this movie, I think. I think the Harry Potter series is a pretty big triumph I mean, partly. I mean, it's partly because of how successful the books are. But how there's never been a series like this.
And to keep all the main actors
Yeah,
together,
all the main
pretty
actors for
interesting
over
too.
10 years, you know, and from children. I mean, none of them. I mean, I guess one of them died, but you know, oh yeah, one actor died. But other than that, they're all pretty much in there still.
Yeah, and it's crazy that they grew up to be somewhat still good looking instead of going crazy weird looking,
Yeah, and
which
yeah, they're all
happens.
good looking, and they actually have careers outside the Harry Potter
Well, yeah, some
franchise.
of them do. Yeah, and speaking of the good looking thing, they even like Neville even turned out too good looking, so they got to ugly him up every movie.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, whatever that actor's name is. Speaking of the actors, they even have the wand guy from the first one in this in the little trailer for the seventh movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which people who read the books, you know, will be happy about because he plays a pretty big role. And Griphook, the gremlin, no, the goblin,
Oh yeah.
played by Warwick Davis. No, or
Is
played
that
by
Willow? Who's this?
no, that's not Warwick Davis. That yeah, that Warwick Davis is yeah Willow. Yeah, and he also.
I thought he played one of the other goblins who taught at the university.
Well, he plays Professor Flitwick, two versions of Professor Flitwick. Yeah, exactly. But he also played that goblin.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
Well,
so
that's good stuff. What'd you think about the footage? I mean, there's not a lot of big shots in it.
I think they were trying to do that on purpose or something, because all I
Well, I
saw was
know they're just kind of
forest.
showing some behind the scenes stuff, but I don't even know if they have any big shot stuff rendered yet, as far as like all their you know, their special effects. They probably don't even have them
It looked pretty raw. Like, it looked like they
ready
shot
to
that
go
stuff
yet.
like yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we saw the dailies of everything going on.
It's like
Yeah.
in the forest, in the forest, in the forest. That's about it.
Well, that's pretty much all the
Well, in
book
the city, there
is.
was a lot of city shots too,
True.
which was kind of interesting,
Well,
right?
they run through this. They go to the wedding. They run through the city, and then they're in the woods for like a lot of that book. So.
Yeah, and that's probably what I didn't like too much about that book. It was a little too much in the forest kind of
It's
stuff,
too much in
but
the forest without enough teenage
I'm like, what's going on at
experimentation.
Hogwarts? What's going on at frickin'
Dude, who cares about Hogwarts? It was taken over by the bad guys.
Hogwarts?
But yeah, so we're
That's
looking
why it's so interesting.
for so we're looking forward to that. Another article I got from Ana Cool, you can check these in the show notes, is something concerning Terminator 5 and 6.
I heard about this. This is
Yeah,
ugly. This.
well, I thought it was kind of funny because as we know, our McGee came here to
Our
Albuquerque.
favorite act director.
Yeah, McGee came to Albuquerque to make Terminator Salvation, which I thought was had was a, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it wasn't that great of a movie. It was kind of a disappointment. I mean, I did like some of it, but it was pretty stupid in the end. But anyway, so and it wasn't a giant hit for.
No, it wasn't a hit at all. It bankrupted that company.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it bankrupted them, but yeah, the company is definitely trying to get rid of the Terminator franchise.
They're selling it.
Yeah, Halcyon, I guess, is what they're called. Yeah, is trying to auction off Terminators. Yeah, so if you, dear listener, wants to buy the Terminator franchise in all its glory, and
Hey, why don't we put our monies together?
yeah, how much do you
The
think it's going
four of
to?
us, and let's just do this, man. Let's make an awesome term. Let's buy it and make something awesome.
And not hire McGee either.
No
I don't
way.
know.
You'll direct, Dominic.
We'll we'll make a nice little indie version of Terminator 5. But speaking of Terminator 5, McGee goes on some interview and he says that he's making Terminator 5 and 6 still, even though they're auctioning off the thing.
He's on board, you mean? Like he's
Or he wants to, at least, yeah. But
right.
I don't know. And that same storyline with Christian Bale, I guess, and Sam Worthington, who played a Terminator that was made in about 2003, but didn't wake up, you know, until 20 years later for no reason when he woke up in the mud and he has a heart. And that movie was stupid.
Stupid. Let's just think about it. Let's just ponder the stupidness.
Pretty, like, and you know what's cool about it? I like the little twist that they did with him, but they revealed it in the trailer, so it completely screwed up everything. It's
What
like,
twist?
well, the twist that he's even a Terminator. Like, they could have got away with making him completely you sided with him, you thought he was a human, and then you find out he's a Terminator, and it would have been so much cooler. But
oh, give me a break. You knew he was a Terminator before the movie even started.
I know.
But that's the thing. If they didn't reveal that in the trailer when you watch it on TV or online, then everybody would have been suckered into going to the theater, right? They would have made more money if they didn't reveal it.
What are you guys talking about? That he's a Terminator? You know he's a Terminator in the first minute of the movie.
That's what I mean, but the trailer, which came out before the movie,
the first scene of the movie,
he's a Terminator.
The first scene of the movie, the lady comes into his prison and basically says, "I'm going to turn you into a Terminator."
So I know. What's the big reveal? But I'm just saying, the trailer ruined it because, like, I would have wanted to see this movie, and then, okay, I would have been tricked at the beginning scene, but I would have been watching the movie. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't know.
The trailer ruined it. Not the movie ruined it.
The trailer ruined the first second of the movie? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That doesn't make
any
sense.
The trailer ruined the first scene of the movie.
Okay, I think that the movie
Dominic, do you know what I'm saying?
Other reasons, but
I know what you're saying. I mean, and I think the movie fails in that way too, is it should have kept it a secret instead of talking about it so much.
That movie should have done a lot of things. I don't know what you guys are so concerned about keeping that a secret, but that movie had a lot of other problems. I thought before keeping whether he was a Terminator a secret or not, because it was stupid anyway. But anyway, so I didn't even want to see a fifth and sixth Terminator. Let that franchise die. Right? I want to see Sarah Connor.
We
should bring that
hey,
back.
We don't have to let it die. We could just let it rest in peace.
No, let it die and then
rest in peace.
And then in 20 years let's have Live Free or Die Terminator.
Yeah, it's another series that's definitely it's over. Let's
okay. Okay, and one more thing I want to talk about in this segment. There was a trailer today that got released for a new movie called Sorcerer's Apprentice. Right. And I wanted your guys' initial thoughts. I've never heard of this movie until I saw this trailer. And
I've heard of this movie. Somebody actually got injured or killed. I want to say injured really bad on this set.
Hopefully it wasn't their location scout.
I don't think it was a location scout.
Yeah, they never. The location
but I heard
scouts
about
never
this
die.
Like
We're
several
too...
months back that somebody got really hurt.
I remember seeing like pictures of this and going, "Oh, okay, Nicolas
I
Cage with long hair again."
The thing about Sorcerer's Apprentice is it's an old story that was adapted in that movie Fantasia with Mickey Mouse dancing with the broomsticks.
Right. Huh.
Apparently, it's the same story or based off the same story, isn't it?
Based on the story.
That's interesting.
But this movie, involves long-haired Nicolas Cage as some crazy sorcerer and that one goofy-looking kid from, I don't know, what is that kid in? That's in the.
He's
trailer.
In Tropic Thunder. He's in every Judd Apatow movie.
Oh yeah, he's in every Judd Apatow movie. Yeah.
Something or another.
Yeah, he's a good little actor, I guess. But this movie, I don't know. It seemed a little over the top. But
no, it looks cool. I actually think this movie looks cool. Now there's another movie that Nick Cage is in that looks crap, and it's called the Season of the Witch. Have you seen the trailer for that?
No, is it a Wicker Man?
No. Yeah, it looks like a Wicker Man, but that looks like garbage. But Sorcerer's Apprentice,
Sorcerer's Apprentice
thought,
is the...
okay, it's another Season of the Witch trailer, but it actually looked pretty cool.
Well, it's the team that brought us National Treasure, which I think are hilariously fun, retarded movies, personally. I think they're fun to watch, but they are so ridiculous that it's making me laugh
and
laugh.
And Nick Cage, I just want to say, is in a movie called Kick-Ass, which apparently is getting some pretty good hype.
That movie does look good. I'm looking forward to that one.
So, basically, you gotta give Nick Cage a good role. You gotta have him doing something good.
You're a Nick Cage apologist. You're a Nick Cage apologist.
No, I'm not an apologist. I think The Wicker Man is a piece of junk, and he's terrible.
I think Nick Cage is one of those actors that plays Nick Cage, and sometimes the role works, and
sometimes
it doesn't.
He plays Charlie Kaufman, and he is good.
Fair enough. All right. Well,
sometimes he plays Caster Troy, and he's good. But I think let's go.
Caster Troy is Nick Cage as John Travolta.
He's okay. Caster effing Troy.
All right, so that's it for Schmollywood. We're going to come back with Think How I Think. All right, Think How I Think. This is where we talk about how I think. Okay, so this is the movie review section of the show. The four of us went and saw a movie. Three of us saw it in Albuquerque. Brian saw it in L.A. But we all saw the same movie nearly at the same time, so that means our souls are connected in that way.
Good.
We're connected.
Yeah, we're all one, sort of. It's existential. But anyway, the movie for this week is Brothers. The Jake Gyllenhaal, Tobey Maguire, Natalie Portman, two funny looking little girls.
Sam Shepard,
explosion of entertainment. So let me tell you what I think. I thought this movie was so boring. I thought that it was all in the trailer, and it was boring and stupid.
Okay. Dominic, how did you feel about it?
I was actually pleasantly surprised. I saw the trailer, and I was just like, ugh, okay.
Gave everything
huge
away.
Huge drama, crying, screaming, and they give everything away in the plot. And then when I watched it, I was actually, okay, they took their time with these characters. They did a little study on all of them.
They took their time.
I found that it was very, you know, it was actually pretty entertaining for being what it was.
Brian, what'd you think?
I guess I would say that I enjoyed it. It wasn't my favorite movie of all time or anything, but I kind of have a soft spot for, like, people that, you know, I guess things that are war related and whatnot. I'm just kind of hate war. So,
well, I hate war too. I'm sorry. Okay. I like the movie too.
I thought it was a good character study. That's all this movie was. It wasn't anything else than a character story. It was a very simple story and was simply shot as well. And in that, it had good performances. And I don't know, I think all those characters, you know, they work somehow, and I was pleasantly surprised with the movie too.
I thought it was a character study, but I thought it was a fairly poorly done character study. I don't really see I don't know the two brothers' relationship, other than they kind of got along, and then he came back from war and hated him like crazy.
Nobody hated anybody when they came back.
Tobey Maguire hated Jake Gyllenhaal and his wife.
He didn't hate him.
Well, he used him as an excuse for his own guilt or whatever.
There you go. I mean, now you're
figuring it out.
Undertone. Yeah. You're finding the undertone.
And I remember, this movie took place in 2007 in the longest winter in history. I swear these characters were in Narnia.
Okay, that was stupid.
That is true.
Okay? The winter season that lasted all year.
Yeah, he goes to war in the winter. He's there for a few months. Meanwhile, she's in the winter. He comes back and it's winter, and he's there for a while and it's still winter. It's never spring. It's always winter and never Christmas in the Brothers.
Yeah, it's kind of like Narnia in that way.
Yeah, it was very stupid.
Seasons of the movie, it was stupid that it was always snowing or always cold or whatever.
And we know exactly why that is, because actually Brothers was shot in Santa Fe, New Mexico, here and it was during the winter time, so it's like they didn't want to afford to melt the snow.
Every shot with the snow looked so pretty that they had to shoot it.
Well, I almost worked on this movie, and I'm glad that I didn't, because it looked miserably cold. But
right,
it definitely looked cold in the movie.
Yeah, but
but the performances were solid. They were good.
I don't think they were solid, dude. People
they were
crying and screaming their heads off. They didn't act like real
Alex.
You know what? The only person that did that for a little bit was Tobey Maguire, and he barely did it.
He screamed for like 100. He screamed.
He screamed one part in.
Okay,
the...
you know, I think there's three reasons to scream in life. Okay, here's why you scream. Okay, one is if you're in pain, like if something bites you, scream your head off. That hurt, right? Okay, two, if you're looking for someone, you know, Atreyu.
Uh-huh.
Falcor! Like, yeah, you scream. Right. You scream. Look for that.
The labyrinth, every character screams at you.
And so Cat in the Hat and Revolutionary Road. And then the third reason to scream is if something scares you.
Now, I wasn't bothered by Tobey Maguire's.
Other than that, shut up, Toby. She's standing right there. What are you screaming?
He had a meltdown for.
Yeah. He was crazy, and also
crazy.
You don't.
Yeah.
Another reason to scream is
that.
When you're
it
screaming at somebody. And you, Alex, you've screamed at me before, so
I
don't give me that.
I think, Alex, where you work in locations, I think everybody screams at you all day. That when you go out to see a movie or something, the last thing you want to see is people screaming at you.
You're right. The last.
And so you're probably saying, oh wait, I don't like the screaming thing because it happens to me every day.
Well, what was he screaming for, man? She was standing right there. He was acting like a psychotic.
He was
supposed to be acting like a psychotic.
And the other thing I don't get about Brothers is, so he crashes in a helicopter. There, he gets kidnapped by Afghanis. He sees helicopters looking for him. They, you know, so they're looking for him. They never find the body, but they just tell his wife that he's dead. And they bury him, and then he comes,
that I didn't understand.
And then he comes back, and everyone thinks it's like not that big a deal. They're just like happy he's back. It's like, aren't you guys
well,
a little mad?
He would be happy he was back too.
Well, I mean, right. I mean, they're, I'm just saying,
oh,
they were
died in Afghanistan. Oh, he's back. Okay, great.
No, I'm like, sure. I'm not saying they wouldn't be happy, but they'd be so pissed as well. They wouldn't let.
Why would? But they wouldn't be pissed at him.
No, at the bureaucrats.
But they're not. That's not. It's not even.
That's not what they're focusing on.
This movie, believe it or not, is not really a political movie.
It is, though. This movie was made in 2007, back when people hated war. Now that everyone loves war, it wasn't even a big hit, but...
No. It's not about the politics of war is what I mean. It's not about, like, oh, well, the government betrayed us, they lied to us, they said he was dead, or no. No, that's not what this movie is about.
No, I know, that's not what this movie is about. I'm just saying that's left unexplained.
And then all of a sudden, he comes back.
I'm just saying it's left unexplained.
But that's...
Okay, it kind of, what I thought, it kind of, there's a similarities between that and Valley of Elah, if you watched
okay,
that.
Okay, that is a crappy movie.
Well, right, but it was another movie that was filmed...
much better than Valley of Elah.
It was another movie that was filmed here in Albuquerque. But it's the same exact kind of thing where it's about, you know, they hype up being a war hero and about, you know, soldiers and, you know, this huge thing that they have for going to war. But then they end up being completely screwed up by it afterwards and no one cares because
Valley of Elah is another subject. It's a topic for another night because that movie is.
Yeah, and I do appreciate the anti-war sentiment because I'm a big peace guy, too.
Remember when the nurse came in? And she was like, I don't think anybody's prepared to kill a human being. I mean, she was that voice of reason in the whole
thing. Yeah, but did you remember that scene was really, really long and slow? And
no, it wasn't. So, it was suspenseful.
Building up. It was building up to the suspense.
The second she...
Yeah, it was. You were even like, oh, my God. I even heard these wisps of
just
breath.
Just because I knew Tobey Maguire was about to scream. The second I saw that little girl playing with her food, I was like, oh, my God. He's going to...
Everybody knew that.
He's gonna freak out.
That's what Hitchcock did. He built suspense. He knows, like he says, you place a bomb, and the bomb's gonna go off at a certain time, and then Tobey Maguire is that bomb. You know he's gonna go off.
Okay.
And basically, all you're doing is waiting for the bomb to go off.
Okay. Tobey Maguire screaming his head off is not the same as the opening scene of Touch of Evil. Anyway, Brian, chime in.
Come on. What do you got to say?
As far as the screaming and all that goes, I'm kind of into screaming, I guess. Like,
wow.
The thing is, I can see...
You got to know this guy to know why he's into screaming.
Well, the thing is, I mean, you can't really put yourself in the shoes of somebody who's just come back from, you know, Afghanistan and spent all the time in the war there. And, you can't really trust your brother, you know, doing things. Obviously, you see him playing with the kids and whatnot. You don't know what he's been doing, and you're just kind of untrustworthy of everybody, and your mind's just a total shithole, you know? So I'm just saying, like, his mind it's obviously not stable, you know? So I can totally understand the screaming. If I was that guy, I would be screaming my head off, too.
You would? If you did the same actions that that guy did, the character did in that movie, you'd probably come home screaming.
Alex screams in traffic. I mean,
Alex screams in traffic. You do.
Well, maybe that's the fourth.
But besides that,
that's the fourth reason to scream is one in traffic.
Oh, okay.
I mean, all I gotta do is put you and your sister and brother together, and I hear screaming constantly.
Give me a break, not so. From me. I don't scream.
No, come on.
I don't.
Come on.
Yeah.
Don't bullcrap us here.
Okay.
Go on, Brian. I'm sorry.
But besides that, I just there were some kind of like some stupid stuff, you know, like you guys said with the plot and whatnot, and it's not
you guys
perfect,
think it was
but...
slow? Didn't you think it just took forever? And then it's like, okay, I'm just waiting for them to hook up. Okay, they hooked up. Now I'm just waiting for him to come home for more. Okay, there we go.
No,
I'm just waiting for him
because,
to freak out.
Because I think what happened with the trailer is it set up for all those elements to be there, and you're like, oh, I know this is going to happen. But they were a little bit different. Like, they weren't exactly what the trailer made them out to be. And there was a lot more going on behind,
I agree
their,
with
like,
you.
In their minds, and it made it more interesting to watch, actually.
No, I thought it was really predictable, and I thought that the ending was so stupid. I mean, the second those two guys are dropped off in Afghanistan, you know that other one's going to get killed. I mean, it's just so, like, by the book, this movie. I thought I was so bored. So bored.
Okay. Well, there you go.
There you go. You got
Alex
all
hated
four
it.
Opinions out there, ladies and gentlemen, so...
Okay, so make
your own decision.
Yeah, I mean, I recommend torrenting this movie. Don't waste your money. And not many people did, because this movie did not even do well in the box office. It was way behind that Sandra,
I wouldn't even expect it to.
That Sandra Bullock movie and Twilight beat the crap out of it.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
So between the Sandra Bullock movie, Twilight, and Brother
They didn't even promote this movie.
Not really. And on top of that, it was made in 2004, and it was another movie, the Dutch movie with the same title, you know, in Dutch, but it's brothers.
By the way, Dominic and I watched the Dutch trailer for this movie. Every shot is almost exactly the same. They just took the same script, wrote it in English, and then boom, made in America.
I want to see it. I mean, I'm interested in seeing that version because some of our friends,
it's like that movie
one of our
Funny Books.
Friends actually had a line in the movie, but unfortunately it was cut. But but she watched the original, and
her line was in the original.
So
I don't know. That sounds like a boring Dutch movie to me.
Well,
I don't know what to say. I mean,
yeah, I know. Won't give anything a chance.
2 years ago, Alex, I think you would have liked this movie.
Why? I used to like boring movies 2 years ago.
No. No, but you had a different outlook on the politics of this movie, I'd say.
The politics of the movie I was fine with. I thought, I'm fine with showing how war messes with people's heads. I mean, it's the predictability and the boredom I was against.
I guess.
And the stupidness.
I'd like to mention that I like Natalie Portman.
Oh, I like Natalie.
Yeah, all right,
okay. If any reason
this
to see
actually...
this movie, go to see it.
Sexually.
Natalie Portman. Okay.
Sexually.
And actually, this is one of her better performances, because she kind of tends to overact
all
a little bit.
Actually.
And it was pretty good.
She's okay. She didn't have much to work with. She's the crying widow chick.
She had subtleties, and I like those subtleties.
I like
every
really
character had subtleties. They never said what, you know, you're watching the movie as a you know, in the audience, you're like, well, just say you didn't do that. And they never said those things.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I thought most of these
I like
fights...
that because it's like, don't say it, show it. And they showed it more than they said anything.
I think that was another problem I had with it. I was just like, this whole thing could be settled in like a 5-minute conversation if you ever would just call.
That's a movie though. You gotta say it or you gotta show it, not say it.
Well, and on top
and
of that, he was
that.
Crazy. Really? He wasn't gonna listen to her anyways because she tried explaining it to him, and
he wasn't crazy. You thought he was crazy?
Yes, he was. He was.
He was. He was nuts when he got back.
No, I thought he was a jerk when he came back, but I didn't think
he
was
a jerk.
Crazy.
But he was nutty.
Was post he
what
was in
he
post-traumatic
did,
syndrome
what he
you know?
Did
he was paranoid and he was a jerk.
Oh,
I didn't think he was crazy.
Come on, I mean he was
because he's imprisoned and went psycho.
Everyone's psycho. Yeah.
Nelson Mandela was in prison. He didn't go psycho.
And you know him personally?
Yeah.
No,
come on,
but I know
come
he didn't go
on.
Psycho.
I would love to see you in that scenario.
His wife.
I mean, come on.
Well, we'll see the Nelson Mandela movie next week.
Yeah, probably.
Invictus.
We got a lot
I think,
of movies
think
coming
that.
Up, guys. A lot of movies coming up. We got some Avatar coming up in what, a week and a half?
Yeah, I think next Uh-oh. Week. I think next week we might be talking about Princess and the Frog. I think
Princess
Avatar.
And the Frog.
Yep.
We got that Invictus. We got We got some cool movies coming up.
Yeah, the end of the year looks like some good movies are coming out, so I'll look forward to talking to you guys about that. But we got to wrap up our show. It's ran a little bit long this week, but I hope people still like it. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Jay, Dominic, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, thanks very much for listening. Please visit IndieMovieCast.com. We welcome comments, questions, and suggestions, so log on and contribute. Remember, we don't only talk the talk. To see the movies we've made, log on to UltimatumPictures.com and become a fan of the Ultimatum Pictures Facebook page. Indie Movie Cast is 2009 Ultimatum Pictures. Thanks, guys.
Good night. Thanks, Brian, for coming on.
Yeah.